So our story continues here with our hero, Elijah. Ultimately, we'll find out that God's the actual hero, but he's using people, and here he uses this man, Elijah, and he's now, the story is building now as he's coming in, coming face to face with these prophets of Baal, and this great, famous story of conflict between two, a big fight, a match that will ultimately determine who is the true God. And we come to 1 Kings 18 and verse 23. And now I love how he's dictating how this is going to play out. Verse 23 says, "Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it." And so he's setting up the parameters of what this looks like. And he says, "And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." So I like how he's setting up that. It's shrewd, it's fair, it's simple. Baal is worshipped as this god of the sun, the fire of the universe, and as the all-controlling god of the crops and productivity in the land. Such a god would surely have lightning in his arsenal of weapons. And if he could do anything, he should be able to start a fire. And the same can be said for Jehovah God. Elijah's plan would provide a reasonable test of the power of these rival deities. And look at the people's response. Look at the end of verse 24 here. "And all the people answered, 'It is well spoken.'" So it's a good idea. Okay, Elijah, this is a good idea. Let's do it. And so they responded in this way. Look at verses 25 and 26. "Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, 'Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it.' And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it, and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, answer us.' But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made." And so this God that answers by fire, the Baal followers believe that he controlled the thunder and lightning and storms, and that the Lord's followers declared the same. And so this would prove to be a fair test. So that's what we see going on here. So they follow Elijah's plan. They carried out his instruction. But when they called upon Baal, nothing happened. So from early morning until noon, they cried out, "O Baal, answer us." Nothing happened. The heavens were brass. There was no lightning, no fire, not a single stirring in the skies. No one answered. The silence was deafening. And I find this interesting because you would they really believed that he could answer them. Wow. And in desperation, the prophets of Baal began leaping around the altar. They were jumping up and down in a frenzy, crying out, begging, pleading, trying to attract Baal's attention, trying to make their god bring down fire. It had to be just something to watch. And if you don't think there's any humor in the Bible, you just look at this scene, because look what Elijah said in verse 27. "And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened.'" And so he's being sarcastic with them. He's pointing out to them. And if his God, their God, was all that they claimed he would be, then Elijah would be in big trouble. He's not worried one bit. And so can you picture this? Elijah is standing there, leaning against a tree, his arms are crossed. He's watching them jump around like a pack of wild animals. They're enduring several hours of this nonsense. And he says, "Well, maybe you're not saying it loud enough. After all, he's a god. He's probably occupied, or he's gone aside." And that The Hebrew word translated occupied suggests that Elijah meant that God was deep in thought, perhaps preoccupied. Hey, maybe he's meditating. You got to yell if you want to get his attention because he's meditating. So go ahead and yell. And if he's not meditating, perhaps he's gone aside. Now that's a interesting expression. And there's people that have different opinions on what that means. Elijah was taunting them. Some believe that he had stepped into a celestial men's room. Others think the phrase mean he's gone hunting. But whatever the meaning, Elijah's mocking intent is clear. And then he pushes it even further. He says, maybe your God is on a journey, or perhaps he had fallen asleep, or you have to yell louder and wake him up. So this is crazy. I mean, this is just nuts. And these prophets were completely resting on their God that they had looked to, that they had trusted. Look at these last two verses in the context we're looking at today. Verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And so this self-laceration is hopefully in their mind to get his pity and that they would he would respond to them. But the Bible for the Jew said you don't do something like this. And so they mutilated their bodies. There's no voice. They were famous in this town. They were those that have been through all of this stuff while all the other people were suffering during the drought. They had sat at the king and queen's table and no one answered. So they're exhausted. They're flopping, they're falling down the dust, they're panting, they're bleeding, they're humiliated. No one pays attention. Look at verse 29. At midday, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. And this is what happens when people that don't know God cry out to whatever God they think they know. And aren't you glad that we know as we call out to God that he hears us and he answers our prayers? This is sad. And this is what it looks like when somebody is trying to gain God's attention in their own works by their own hands. And we're going to keep working through this story together, but we're going to come to the place at a certain point where we're going to find out who the true hero is. And so stay tuned. We'll get there.